Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm Zooming with my mum. Say hi.
Hi, darling.
Today we have a remarkable, brilliant woman who only runs the best festival in the whole wide world. It's Emily Evis, who is all things Glastonbury Festival. Unfortunately, Glastonbury isn't on this year, of course, because of older Miss Corona.
Old who?
Corona!
Oh, Miss Corona.
Anyway, it's not on this year. However, Emily has taken the time out to chat with us before the BBC actually are showing a whole weekend's worth of memorable performances from Glastonbury, because it would have been this weekend. We're all sad about that. But however, we're going to see all the best bits from Glastonbury over the course of the weekend on BBC. And we're very, very lucky to have her. She doesn't do that much press, ever, really. So we're about to ask her the hard-hitting questions about what she has for breakfast. Apologies in advance. It's a Monday morning and everyone is Zooming at the moment, and potentially there may be a few audio discrepancies, whether that's my mum forgetting to put her mic on or connections. Sorry in advance. The wonderful Emily Evis coming up on Table Manners. Emily Evis, thank you so much for doing Table Manners.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
This is quite the booking for us. No, honestly, this is, you know, you have so much mystique and kind of you're this person that we all love and adore and worship every year.
Oh, well,
it's a pleasure to have you and meet you finally. How are you? How is it? You know, it's coming up to next week would have been the weekend, but how are you feeling? How's lockdown been?
Do you know what? It's so far, I think it's getting better now. I think March was devastating. We were just so gutted. And it was like one of those weird things where even though it looked like the rest of the world was kind of, they were all far ahead of us and everything was kind of shutting down all over the place, it kind of felt like we weren't going to have to for a bit, didn't it? We were all optimistically carrying on. And then suddenly, within like 24 hours, it was like, there's no chance we're going to be able to do this. Yeah. And so we kind of pulled the plug on it. And it was really sad because we'd got so far with it. So we had it all in place. Yeah. But you know, now it's getting better because we're nearly through June. And I think as soon as we're through June, it'll be like, we'll be on to next year.
Yeah, I feel like, I remember you, because the announcement of the lineup kind of came out and everyone was like, yes, virtual cheer. And then, of course, you didn't know that you wouldn't be able to do it. It was
Yeah, exactly. We were like, maybe we shouldn't release the lineup, but we'd spent so long putting it all together. So we slightly put that out, realizing that there was a chance that we might not be able to do it. But we wanted to kind of let people know, because it was either that or, like, you know, people go, oh, well, who was going to play? So we put it out there. And then a week later, we cancelled.
Well, I was going to be on the lineup and I was really excited to play. And, you know, there'll be another year and it's fine. But I mean, I just have to say, it is the best. It's the best festival in the world. I have had such incredible memories there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I remember my first Glastonbury was when I'd finished university, and we all went and we got there on the Wednesday. And I remember the Goan fish curry that changed my life by the West Holt stage.
So how did you find that? Did somebody give you a tip on that? Because that's real kind of insider info. So on your first Glastonbury experience. That's pretty lucky.
It may not have been my first Glastonbury experience, but however, it's made an everlasting impression on me. The Goan fish curry, people that know, know. And it is sensational. Yeah. And I mean, I wanted to talk to you about, because you know, you've got like over what, 400 different varieties of food, different stalls. And you know, it's not just burger and chips, however much we love burger and chips. You've got everything there.
The food is so much, it really has taken a step forward in the last kind of 10 years or so. I mean, we've always had good food, but I think we've got rid of some of those kind of vans which were just like churning out rubbish burgers. And now everybody kind of makes a real effort, like with their, even the presentation of the stalls, it's just really like handmade signs and real love kind of gone into it. And the food is just amazing. I mean, there's like everything. I mean, for us, it's amazing because we live in Somerset and you just don't get much variety of what, you know what I mean? Like, you'll, like, if you wanted a curry, you'd have to like drive for 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And like now, suddenly, like for a week, everything is on the doorstep.
I wondered how you choose which stalls. Loads of people must want to be at Glastonbury and show off their food. I just wondered how you choose.
Yeah, it is quite, I mean, to be honest, a lot of people have been here for a long time. So they kind of, you know, the rollover of the same people. And then we tweak it a little bit every year. I mean, they put applications in and we go through all of the applications. We've got a markets office who just deal with all the stalls alone. It's quite a big job.
Emily, is anyone doing chicken soup and matzo balls yet?
Oh, good question. You know what? I don't know.
That's my speciality. And I think it's the only way I'm ever going to get to Glastonbury because Jessie never, ever lets me go on her guest list to accompany her.
Has Jessie not brought you down?
No, she hasn't, Emily.
They're gold dust. Those tickets are gold dust. And sorry, I don't want to be in the rabbit hole with my mother after I've performed. I'm sorry.
I don't want to be in the rabbit hole either.
No, you don't.
You don't have to go to the rabbit hole.
I don't even know what that is.
To be honest, I really wouldn't recommend it. If you're going to come for the first time, you can easily avoid the rabbit hole. As good a venue as it is.
My mum saw when Shirley Bassey played that Shirley, you know, came by helicopter, had the Diamante wellies. And that is how my mum wants to make her entrance for when, like... when I play.
As long as I don't spill the chicken soup, darling.
Well, I mean, I do think it would be quite medicinal to have some chicken soup and matzo balls site because it's kind of, it's Jewish penicillin. It sorts everyone out. I think it would sort out a hangover.
My God, we could all do with that, to be honest. I mean, Jessie, are you up for coming back next year?
I mean,
I'm thinking we make a plan now.
Absolutely, 100%. I will. I was like there, like watching my opportunity to play this album pass me by, and there, and I was, oh my God, absolutely, and I now have it in audible confirmation. I'm coming.
Brilliant.
Absolutely will be there.
Brilliant.
With bells on.
With your mum.
My mum may be allowed to come with
come
the chicken
on.
Soup.
Thank you, Emily. Yeah, just confirm that now.
Let's get it sorted.
Mum will pay you in chicken soup for her ticket. There you go. It's sorted.
Oh my God, I can't think of anything better, to be honest.
But I want to know how you do it. How do you pick your food for the weekend? Or week, I guess. Or do you just not eat for that weekend?
To be honest, I mean, I wish we had, I'd love to have the whole weekend just exploring the food because it's so amazing. But like, it's really hard to find that time to even like get a meal in because it's so manic and you're kind of so adrenalized just running around. But when you said the Goan fish curry place, there is normally like one, if there's like one stall that we don't miss, it's probably that one. Like it's just so, it's so good.
But I presume it's almost like your wedding every year or, you know, a bar mitzvah or, you know, a huge event where it's, you're so wanting everyone else to have a good time. You kind of maybe forget about
eating,
looking after yourself, eating, drinking properly, sleeping properly.
Exactly.
I mean, how do you relax after it's all done? Do you get the blues like everybody else? Or are you like, fuck off, out of my field, get out, I'm sick to death of seeing the sight of you?
But you know what? In my kind of childhood, people just took ages and ages to leave. Like it kind of, the departure went on for about 2 weeks. And so you just have people here for ages. But now most people are pretty good at leaving on the Monday. So like, you know, by the following weekend, it's actually quite peaceful. We do have a kind of welfare facility that looks after some of the more vulnerable people, you know, at the end. And so that kind of keeps going for a couple of weeks. And but you know, it takes quite a long time to recover. I think it kind of takes until September, really, to feel like normal again. so much goes into it. You're just so exhausted.
Of course.
But you've grown up with this, Emily. Glastonbury's been part of your world since you were born. Well, how old were you when it first took off?
Well, it started before me. So I arrived in 79 and the festival started in 1970. So, yeah, it'd been going quite a long time.
But all the fun was in the 80s, surely.
It was pretty hairy in the 80s. It was quite different to how it is now. It was more like the Wild West. It was kind of like unpredictable nature of the festival was like, it was, how can I describe it? There were kind of more drugs, more dealers, and it was a little bit more like wild because there was really no fence. So even though we put a fence up, people used to kind of like storm in, and as a result, there were more, yeah, it was a little bit more like illegal raves and stuff. And with that came a few more casualties and you know, it was a bit more unruly.
Did your dad protect you from that?
My mum did, actually, because my mum was kind of always like keeping me safe at home. And my dad was kind of running around dealing with people and kind of putting fires out, literally. but it's hard to, at that point, I think if you'd said, will it be going, at, you know, in 2020, no one would have said yes. It kind of felt like every year was the last. It was so, so kind of wild and just a bit like it had that sort of, yeah, illegal rave kind of feeling to it.
So can you remember the first act that you remember as being most memorable when you were a kid that made such a big impression on you?
I remember things like Van Morrison, Elvis Costello, Shakespeare's sister, Aswad. Ian Dury, Joan Baez.
Oh, wow.
There was only one stage, so it wasn't like it is now. We all kind of watched the same band. So everyone was on the same, like, so every audience member, I guess, was watching the same act, which now is just so different. And when you come, you'll see it's like there are so many different stages. So, like, you know, it's very, like, you'll meet your mates at the end of the day and be like, what have you seen? What have you done? And everyone's had a completely different experience.
When I'm at Glastonbury, my step count is off the chain. I mean, I'm doing like 40,000 steps in a day.
Gosh. You're just,
it's a world, Mum. It's this magical world.
Gosh.
It's, yeah. Get ready, Mum. Yeah. You need to get training for Glastonbury schlepping.
Yeah. It is like, it is a world and it is a city and it's, and you do so much exercise, more than you'll ever do in your life. Because you kind of run between, we like run between stages and kind of don't want to miss stuff. There's lots of hills. So it is really good. People actually do like runs around the fence line. Have you heard about that? Like kind of Saturday morning jogs and stuff. Yeah, that's a bit of a thing now.
What? Like the 5K, but yeah. It wouldn't be, how many Ks is it?
Well, I don't know. It's about,
it's probably more than,
it's about 8 miles long, the fence. So that's pretty good.
How did you train to help your father run Glastonbury? Did you go to, you went to school, I assume.
I went to school.
Yeah.
I went to Goldsmiths in London.
Wow.
Then I went to...
Oh, that's right where I live.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm in New Cross Gate. Yeah.
So I was in London studying and teaching in Newham and Goldsmiths. And I came back when my mum was ill because I was helping look after her because she wasn't very well. She died about a month before the festival. So I didn't see myself like in this role at all, but because of the circumstances, I ended up getting kind of really involved that year, mainly just to help my dad through it all.
Which year was that, Emily?
That was 99.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
So yeah, no, it was kind of emotional. I mean, at the time it was really difficult but in a way it was like quite a comfort having the festival at that point because it was so much about their kind of relationship and their life together. So we kind of, threw so much into it and we really like it became a lifeline.
Good.
The festival to us.
So then from then on, did you carry on working on the festival or did you?
Yeah.
did you never finish your degree?
No. So I left, I had a placement. I came back and then I guess I thought that year that I needed a bit of experience. You know, the question that you originally asked was about how I ended up knowing anything about putting on events. Well, I went back to London and I
put on loads and loads of gigs. So I did lots of work for charities, and I organised loads and loads of gigs across town, and I put on bands because I kind of wanted to know that I could do it. I didn't want to just like be in this role without actually being able to have any experience in the live sector. So I kind of, yeah, that's what I did for a few years whilst working on the festival at the same time.
And who was your first booking when in your London gigs?
So we booked Vampire Weekend actually at the Social. We did a night Amazing. Called Holy Cow, which was brilliant. And then we did like kind of bigger bands like R.E.M. at that point. And, you know, Noel Gallagher did some things, and we Coldplay and various bands. So we did quite a lot of stuff. But the Social was like our kind of new music night, which I did with Nick, my husband. And we just used to put on those bands. Vampire Weekend were like, yeah, they were just like their first trip to London. It was brilliant, really good. You know that room downstairs at the Social?
Yes.
It was like packed.
Yeah, okay. Sweaty, packed, brilliant.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, growing up, what's your kind of, who was making dinner? What were you eating? What's kind of a food memory from when you were young?
So we grew up with probably, so my mum would always be preparing meals, and, you know, I'm like the youngest of a lot of kids, and there are different strands. There's been like two marriages. So I've got like six half sisters basically and a brother. So so there would be kind of, my mum kind of did all the cooking. My dad's quite traditional in the fact that he's kind of a traditional farmer and, you know, he quite likes like just really simple, like meat and two veg, you know, like that would be his. And so whereas my mum would try an experiment and he'd be like, where's the Swede? we went to a restaurant the other day and he was like, well, before lockdown that is, and he was like, have you got any turnip?
So Glastonbury an active farm? Was it an active farm?
Yes.
So did your dad have animals or crops?
He is a dairy farmer, and we're the sixth generation.
Oh, wow.
So my family have been here for a very long time. So it's got that feeling of kind of the ancestral home, you know, like it kind of like the history, you can feel it in the walls. And
so you've been brought up on full fat milk all your life?
Exactly.
Have any of you told your dad that you were going to be vegan?
yeah, in fact, there's a couple of vegetarians. Yeah. I don't know if people have gone off dairy completely, but I'm not a massive consumer of dairy. I'm not sure how my dad would feel about oat milk. I'd have to ask him.
I know how I feel about oat milk.
How do you feel about oat milk? Go on, tell me.
I feel not very happy. I like proper milk.
Oh, I feel really? Like you are discriminating when I feel like you've never even had an oat milk flat white yet, Mum.
I have, darling. I have had an oat milk flat white and a chai latte, I think.
How did it taste?
It tasted the same, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate to admit it.
So, Jessie, how are you with dairy?
Well, you know what? I think this has been the saddest thing that I've learned in lockdown. I think I'm slightly dairy intolerant and I won't give up on it because I adore kind of everything. I mean, my ultimate pleasure is cream on ice cream. So, like, I kind of, live for it. But, yeah, my husband's well into all the alternatives and I feel like he's just pushing out dairy from all of our lives. And, yeah, I think it's probably a good thing for me. But, yeah, no, I love it all. Do you have a stand? You should have a stand. Or maybe you do.
Well, we sell our cheese, but...
Oh, wow, which cheese is it?
It's just a worthy cheddar. But
I love cheddar. No, it's my favourite.
Oh, do you? Oh, I'll get some. I'll send some over.
Oh, I love it. It's got that... If it's really good cheddar with that slight crunch in it, with the calcium, I love it.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it is. Quite rich, quite kind of nutty.
Yeah.
I'll send some over.
Do you sell it? Do you sell it in kind of the local farm shops then? And I mean, obviously you do. Like, it's a cheddar that, I mean, could we get it in Waitrose?
Well, to be honest, we're just about to. It will be available in the co-op soon, so you'll be able to get it. So, we're just about to look at 8 different types of packaging in a minute. So yeah, that's something that's that's something that's happening now. But funnily enough, my husband's gone off. He's slightly intolerant as well. So in fact, I can see from here an oatmeal, a bottle on his desk, which is, so yeah, he's off dairy. Seems to be the way now.
Does he work at Glastonbury too?
Yes, he does. He does many of the bookings. So he oversees all of the music now, which is great because it kind of takes, because the festival, like there's, although the bands are really, really important, there's like a whole part of the festival which is like non-music, which takes a lot of time as well. So and running all the, dealing with all the different area organizers and all the food and everything else. So so Nick takes that pressure now, which is good, dealing with all the agents.
Oh god, poor thing. But but how did you meet Nick? Did you, because Nick was the Chemical Brothers manager, right? Or is he still, or no?
Yes, he is still, and he's looked after them for a long time. So I was trying to get him, I was trying to get the Chems to donate a track for an Oxfam kind of CD type thing, you know, like a cover mail CD they used to do in the olden days.
Yeah.
And then that's how I met him. So that was really lucky because he's slotted in really well down here. He's brilliant.
But Emily, what I want to know is that how do you separate work with your father? I wonder how that was, and was it ever a bit of a struggle? Did you feel like you were just talking about Glastonbury the whole time?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of battled to not let it overtake our personal, you know, our father-daughter relationship, because it is such a sort of dominating thing, and it kind of takes up so much of our lives. But, you know, we have quite a separate roles, really, and as much as we do... you know, we have times where we talk about certain things that cross both of our worlds, but actually he kind of leaves us to it, which is great. And I leave him to do his things. He likes to kind of go and meet, you know, the landowners who, because we use like about 20 farms in total. So he does a lot of that work, and there's a kind of degree of separation from the things that we do. So, but we've always been very close, and there's always been that kind of understanding that we're just, like, yeah, that we're kind of going to do the right thing. We've got similar sort of instincts, do you know what I mean? I think if I'd kind of been trying to, like, you know, cash in on it and kind of like bring in loads of massive brands or whatever, maybe that would have been slightly like alarm bells would be ringing. But I've kind of tried to keep it as pure as I can to the original, you know, essence of what it was in 1970. So yeah, I think we've got a good vibe.
Do your brothers and sisters get involved with the business as well?
Not with the business. No, they're much older than me, so I came along 14 years after my brother.
Oh wow.
So yeah, I mean, there's kind of, I suppose we
almost
were
a different generation.
Exactly. And so they kind of had like they had proper professions, and my brother's a doctor and
snap.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah, proper, that's exactly how I say it too, a proper job.
So it was like they kind of were like quite far down the road with other professions when I got involved.
I wanted to also highlight that you have been doing loads, even though the festival couldn't happen this year. You've been really helping with a lot of stuff to do with COVID. You know, you donated thousands of litres of hand sanitizer to frontline services, and you know, with masks and ponchos and cotton bags, and weren't some of your crew helping out to put together the Bristol Nightingale Hospital?
Yeah, exactly. No, we were because you know, remember that, like, those first couple of weeks in lockdown when there was a shortage of everything? Well, in fact, for about a month. Yeah. We had so much because we obviously had ordered enough hand sanitizer for the whole festival and all of our crew. And then we had so many resources. So we just kind of started like handing them out to all of the hospitals, and then cotton bags for scrubs. And we kind of started. Yeah. So that was quite a good project for us because, you know, at the beginning of it, it was like you felt a bit helpless, didn't you? So we could kind of it was quite good feeling to be able to play a part in it and help out in some way.
So how will you be spending the weekend that was meant to be the festival? Because I know that you're doing a whole weekend on the BBC. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, so the BBC are going to be doing some coverage and some, like, going back through archive sets and things, and, like, kind of greatest, you know, moments over the years, 50 years, etc. And I think we'll be here on the farm, and the BBC are going to be down here as well. So it's going to be pretty busy, and we're kind of trying to, you know, to say to the public, don't come down. And so we'll be putting that message out there as well.
Would people come down? Is that what you think people are going to intend to do? Would they just come down regardless?
Well, I think not necessarily. And to be honest, on fallow years, they tend to be pretty good. But, you know, there might be the odd person. There was a guy from France who'd walked all the way from France to see Radiohead on our last year off. And come all the way. I know, I just felt so bad for him. He's so tired. And it was just, obviously, there was no festival on. So there's normally a few waifs and strays, but it'll be okay. I'm sure most people will stay at home, especially as we're still in lockdown. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. And I think he'll probably be quite quiet. You know what's the worst... I guess on these kind of sunny June days, it just feels like, you know, just really, really quiet for us because we're so used to this kind of like buzz at this time. So it'll probably be quite a reflective week next week.
I hope it's not blazing hot that weekend, just because that would be rubbing salt in the wound. I hope it pours down.
Oh my God, Jessie, it's like the weather forecast is looking really good. It's so annoying.
For God's sake.
I know. It's just typical. I'm like, no.
What a shame. Never mind, next year will be good.
Yeah.
It'll be even better.
And to be honest, one of my best Glastonbury's was with when it was torrential rain. That 2007, I think it was. And it was torrential.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I want to know what your Last Supper, or maybe we can make it, I mean, we can, maybe it will be including the festival's food.
Oh, let's have it today, Jessie, because it's a festival.
All right, fine. Okay, so Last Supper, final meal, Glastonbury meal, starter, main, pud and drink of choice. Go.
Oh, from all the stalls. Okay, so I'd start
It can be anything. I wonder whether any of the stalls will kind of get into your Last Supper or not.
I think we'd have to make it out of festival stalls just for the...
Yeah, okay, come on then.
So I think probably there's this really old Japanese stall, which is... they've been here since I was little. And they are amazing, really, really lovely kind of family-run Japanese stall. So I'd probably start there with some kind of, like... Japanese sort of starter.
Where are they usually placed, or do they move, just so in case people need to know? You're like doing the kind of Condé Nast, the time out for people to kind of write it down for next year.
Yeah, okay, so they're really near Goose Hall, which is where our crew catering is, most near the meeting point basically. So you want to, and actually it works quite well because you'd start there and then you'd walk up to West Holt's for main course, which would be like the Goan fish curry for sure. And then, I'm not sure what you'd do for dessert at the festival. Maybe you just go for some kind of, I mean, cakes is not really so much a kind of strong point.
I think I've had a churros or two at Glastonbury. But yeah. I don't know if I have had that much sweet stuff.
What about ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could go for some nice local kind of creamy ice cream. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some ice cream or some churros.
Are you a sweet or a savoury kind of girl then, Emily?
I quite like, we eat quite a lot of kind of savoury sort of Asian food. Me and my husband's a really, really good cook. He's really into food. So he would have already been starting to think about what we're going to eat tonight, for example.
That's my exactly kind of man. That's me.
Yeah, so he'll be starting to plan and he'll know exactly what we've got in the fridge. And
so what are you having tonight?
Well, I don't know. He's not here. So you see, I wouldn't know. I thought I was really into cooking until I met him. And now I'm just like pretty much redundant. I do the kids' food and then he just does all of the adult food, which is brilliant. But it's kind of like I've got to really fight to like get in the kitchen.
Have you been able to get together with your dad?
Yes. Yeah, we have, which is good.
Are you a bubble?
We've bubbled up. Yeah. Exactly.
Good.
But you guys are bubbled, right?
Well, we've started to bubble. Yeah, we're bubbling. If it's not mum dropping food.
We saw each other in the garden for a while.
Right.
But then yesterday they came round and they came in the kitchen a bit.
That's good.
It was hard not to hug the grandchildren. That was the worst thing.
I bet. And so hard for them to understand because they're so young.
Yeah. So difficult.
It's so confusing. Yeah, my four-year-old daughter just keeps talking about the cough. And,
the cough.
And when the cough goes, you know, we'll have the festival back. And it's just like,
dear.
Bless. Yeah.
So you have three children, don't you?
Yeah, three. So 9, 7 and 4. So they've all just had their birthdays. So yeah, it's quite hectic. I have to say, homeschooling, I thought I'd be a teacher when I went to Goldsmiths, but I've been really bad. Really bad. It's not been easy.
Emily, do you sing karaoke? Do you sing karaoke ever?
I'm constantly singing. So I just walk around the office. Our office has got really high ceilings and I keep talking about how we should have some kind of choral.
So what's your song that you sing in the office?
Oh, everything.
What did you sing this morning?
Moana, as I was walking.
Moana!
Where you are.
Oh, sing it, Emily.
No, I can't sing it now. I can't, like, it needs to just flow as I'm walking in.
All those Moana songs get in your head.
It's so catchy, Moana. Do you not think it's more catchy than Frozen?
Oh, well, actually, I was really into the second soundtrack of Frozen 2. I felt like that 80s moment that they kind of did like a Toto.
Yeah.
They did kind of Toto. It went Lost in the Woods when he's... that was an excellent musical moment, I think.
Yeah, it was, actually. Even the start of Frozen 2 has got some good music. But, I mean, it was... But Moana to me is like so addictive. I mean, I have to like not watch it after like midday because I can't, it just stays in my head for days and days and days.
Oh, I agree. And we had Nicole Scherzinger on the podcast and she's Moana's mum, the voice of.
Oh, wow.
And so she did her, we make our nest from the fire, the water is sweet inside. And it's great.
She was in the kitchen and Jessie said to her daughter, this is Moana's mum. And she said, where's Moana?
I want to know what your... did you ever have packed lunch when you went to school?
Yeah.
Were you a packed lunch or a school dinners kind of girl?
I had school dinners, but there were times when I had packed lunches, obviously like school trips, stuff like that.
And what was your sandwich of choice? And did you have a special lunchbox?
So I'm going back to a sort of like fairly traditional, like we would go for kind of a cheese and pickle sort of sandwich.
Yeah, love that.
That obviously... Like, we used to make butter. So I used to make butter with my mum from the milk. And so we'd sit at the table and make butter. Well, you know, with those kind of butter paddle things? Have you seen those?
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
So my mum would bring it out of the bowl and I'd make it into a rectangle with those paddles. And it was just the best butter in the world, like really, really creamy. And so that would be my sandwich with our kind of farm butter.
That's such a lovely memory to have. I don't know, have you tried that in lockdown? in lockdown to make butter with the kids, or is it just too much of a fad?
To be honest, I haven't. Nick, my husband, is really, he's like, we've got to start making butter. But we grow so many, our time is spent in the garden because we grow a lot of our own vegetables, and we have a massive, you know, veg patch and fruit patch and stuff. So we've been harvesting a lot at the moment. So yesterday we were getting all the broad beans in and all the, you know, beans and tomatoes and courgettes and red peppers, blah. So yeah, we are spending a lot of time making things, but it's always, it has to be from the garden at the moment.
Do you ever go on holiday? And if you do, because I feel like kind of Glastonbury is this defining moment of everyone's summer, but do you go abroad ever? And if you do, is there any particular place that you go, that like one place, or do you stay in the UK quite a lot?
We quite often go to Cornwall. So we try and go to Cornwall for like most of August each year.
Oh, nice.
We spend a lot of time in Cornwall. Have you been to Cornwall?
Yeah, and I think there's really great food there too. So I'm mad about the food.
Yeah, really good food. And they're really proud of their produce and their food in Cornwall. Yeah. And they, yeah, it's really good food. And also just amazing for kids. So like our kids are just like learning to surf and just spent all their time just kind of catching waves and, you know, being battered about in freezing water. So it's great. And we kind of avoided like airports for the last few years just because we've got so many kids and it's quite nice just not having to go too far. But to be honest, I would really love to just be away right now. Aren't you just craving? Mm. Are you craving like some kind of getaway?
Yeah. We go to Greece every year. Oh, so that's where heaven. I got married. That's where mum is literally with. She's going to be waving that antibody positive test to anybody who will take it as an immunity passport so she can get on a flight there.
That is amazing. I mean, I have to say, I think Greece is pretty unbeatable, isn't it?
It is great. But yeah, hopefully we'll be able to go. I don't know. Emily, a few more questions before we leave you to decide on your cheddar and packaging. But I wanted to know, have any artists ever brought their own private chefs backstage?
Yeah, quite a few, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
I remember, like, Muse bought their own kitchen, their own, you know, chef, and then kind of kitchen area that we kind of built. But yeah, I mean, most people are happy with Eat to the Beat. Do you know Eat to the Beat?
Yes, it's really good.
Amazing food, really good.
Mm. Do you think you've got good table manners, Emily?
I mean, I think so. My dad was a bit of a stickler for table manners when I was growing up. So he would like, and he would sort of do that thing of like correcting me when one of my friends had bad table manners.
What, as a kind of like way of not being out telling them off?
Yeah. So he'd go like,
love that.
No, we always put our fork in that, you know, that way round, for example. Or like, yes. Emily, don't forget. And I'd be like, I'm sure I'm doing it the right way around. And then I'd realise that he was talking about one of my mates. But yeah, how are your table manners?
I mean, I'm greedy. I eat too quickly. I overorder.
You never share a meal with Jessie. Never have tapas. Or a child.
No, I wouldn't share
that. You share because she just eats everything. And so everybody else tries to keep up with her. And we all end up with indigestion.
I have an insatiable appetite.
Do you not chew your food properly, Jessie?
Oh, I shouldn't think so.
I think I chew at a very fast rate.
Yeah.
And I'm quite
greedy is the word.
Yeah, I utilise the time. I think having kids has made me chew even like I'm literally like a 100-meter sprinter when it comes to chewing. So
because you have such a short window of peace to eat, so you're like quickly get it down.
Totally. And what's your worst table manner in somebody else? What can't you stand when you see somebody else doing something?
I think my worst thing is probably not sharing. So like if Nick's like, should we share that? I'm like, get your own, because I know that realistically. You know, it's a bit of a race, like you say, with kids. You're kind of racing to get through it.
Oh, so you don't like to share. So you'd be the person that, with it, when a curry's there, you'd be like, I'm having my own main.
Well, because Nick's really, so he's really fast. And so he just kind of like races through. And so I'm like then competing with him. So I'm like, if we kind of can just go at two different paces rather than like diving back into this bowl in the middle. Nick's like one of four boys. And so they're really, really all into food. And so, like, they all would be quite competitive about how much food's on their plate. So, you know, like, if someone had an extra potato, they'd notice. And they're still a little bit like that now. Like, at Christmas, it'll be like, well, you know, you've got more more carrots than I have.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Crikey.
I wanted to know that regarding, you know, when I go to Glastonbury, whether I'm playing or I've been as a punter, whatever, and I have my, you know, my lineup, my dream lineup of where I'm going to go. And you try and make it and you kind of, you're overzealous with your selection because sometimes it's just not going to work out. Do you have that every year?
Yeah, so I totally have a dream lineup every year. And I think, oh, I'm going to see like all of these things and do all of this. And then I very, very rarely get to see any of it. Like, I'm lucky if I kind of see like one or two bands, because just because you're so busy and you're like running around in these kind of crisis moments, there's always like the most unpredictable things that will be time consuming. So as much as I get so excited about it and curate it all and kind of feel really like proud of kind of what we, when we unveil it, then I normally miss most of it. But I rely on all of this feedback from people as to how things went.
But you are very calm. You seem very calm, and I think that must be absolutely the temperament you need to manage something like Glastonbury, because there must be things going constantly wrong and a zillion people saying, Emily, what shall I do? Emily, this is happening. What shall I do? And you have to just keep calm and manage it.
Yeah, I think you get used to a certain level of stress, and that's quite an important part of it. Just to be able to tune out as well and switch off from it all when you need to focus
and delegate.
On something and delegate.
Yeah.
And luckily, the team is just so brilliant. You know, we've got such an amazing bunch of people down here who run all the different areas. And so you kind of, you know, there is so much trust as well.
Fantastic.
Emily, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. We will see you next year.
I'm coming with chicken soup and matzo balls. Yeah.
I'm going to get some cheese. We'll get some cheese over. Fabulous. We can do a chicken soup cheese exchange. I'll be making butter by then.
Oh, it'll be amazing. What a woman. She was lovely.
She was delightful. Just kind of a normal, down-to-earth, easy person. And she's met all those famous stars. And she wasn't a bit starry, was she?
She's just, like, so impressive and brilliant. I just think that, like, I mean, we didn't talk about the fact that she's been very vocal about it being far more equal, the lineup with women and men. And I, you know, it's always been so varied and amazing. And I just, yeah, I don't know. She's magic. I think she's so inspiring. I really, really enjoyed that. I also love the fact that I've got my first booking of 2021, first festival booking. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, so have I. And I'm there.
I know, you really muscled in with the chicken soup. Oh, please, can I give you some chicken soup, Emily?
I didn't, darling. I didn't.
What a Wonder Woman. Love her. Love Glastonbury. It's the best place on earth. If you haven't been, good luck getting a ticket next year. Because it's going to be a big year next year. And I am so thrilled that we got to speak to her. She's a remarkable, brilliant woman in music.
She's philanthropic as well. I mean, she thinks about others. That's important. But I just wondered, having got all your energy and adrenaline to Glastonbury, and then you're at the final hurdle, it's like a champion runner, and then they say, it's over, you're not doing it. It must have been awful for them.
But then, look, you can hear she's sorting out packaging for the Cheddar. Yeah. She's sorting out a huge weekend of coverage over the last 50 years, because this was the 50th anniversary. It's, I feel like she's pretty busy. She's also got three kids.
Yeah. Three children. She looks very young.
I feel like she doesn't disagree with her dad as much as we disagree.
She probably doesn't exploit her father as much as you exploit me. Can you bring the shopping over, Mum, instead of the other way round?
Mum!
Yeah.
Mum, Alice, our wonderful producer, has had a suggestion, and she is all things audio. She thinks maybe we should just do a garden table manners. Who can we get out to come to a garden of ours?
I'm fed up of cooking for myself, I'm telling you that.
Put the feelers out. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with more table manners special circumstances. And in the meantime, go and enjoy the BBC's coverage of Glastonbury Festival this weekend. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.